She's the best sound person I've ever had. I've had a lot of good sound people, by the way, and I'm not putting them down, but she's just that much better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some people are just really good. Now, we've had a great feast so far, and we've talked about a lot of wonderful things, and we got some more stuff coming. Amen? Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, the time of prosperity. You do not want to miss that. Now, a lot of teachers preach prosperity, and you can take 98% of what they tell you, and you can plow it up in your garden, and it will make things grow. Amen? And I was real polite when I said that. You know, I love teaching prosperity. But they don't teach prosperity out of the Bible. They teach prosperity out of the fiction of their own mind. They can't make you prosperous. But tomorrow we're going to get into prosperity some because you need... Hey, don't we all need it? Amen? Hey, I have trouble getting my payments out some months. Like, come on. But tonight we're going to talk about Jesus. Amen? The title of tonight's message is Jesus, Sweet Jesus. You know, almost everybody knows the scripture, for God so loved the world. Right? Well, what's up with us? All we talk about is how much He loves us. When are we going to start loving Him? Come on now. Where's the scripture for we so love God? Now granted, you can't get in this ballgame until Jesus loved you enough to die for you. But after He died for you, is everybody saved in here? I mean, we've been having most everybody saved the whole time. Once you get to that stage, when are you going to turn things around so you loved Him so much? There is stuff in the Bible. You know, look, the pagans cut themselves. How many of you ever watched the Iranians down there? They got the little festival they go to. I forget the name of the town, but they all cut themselves. Have you all seen that on TV? Where they're jumping and shouting and hollering and cutting themselves. Kind of reminds you of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, doesn't it? Cut themselves. Hey, Allah can't hear them. Come on now, Allah can't hear them. They can cut themselves all they want to. I'm like Elijah. Is he taking a nap? Oh, maybe he's asleep. Yeah, a little louder. You can wake him up. Allah can't answer. Because Allah's a little rock in Saudi Arabia. They ever see the Kabbalah there? They show you on TV all Muslims walking around that black shrouded thing in there. Inside is a little black rock. That's why Allah can't hear you. Because rocks can't hear. Amen? God said His ears work. He can hear. My arm is not short, said it cannot save you. My ear is not dull of hearing, that I can't hear your prayers. But your sins have separated you from me. Anyway, we're getting off a different subject. Anyway, let's go to Hosea chapter 2. You know, God is looking for people who really love Him. You know, everybody come up to the altar at a service and say, oh, Jesus, I love you. Everybody can mouth the words when we're in work. Well, some people don't seem to be able to do it, but most people can come up in the worship and mouth the words, I love you, Jesus. But when are you going to show Him the real love? You know, if you're married to somebody and that's all you get is a little, I love you, honey, and then the rest of the time they forget you, you ain't going to think they love you, do you? I mean, you expect a little more, don't you? Well, when we going to give the Lord a little more? The Lord quickened me when He gave me this verse. He said, you will no longer call me Bali. You will call me Ishi, and I will take the names of Balim out of your mouth. Hosea 2 and verse 13. I will punish her for the day she burned incense to the Baals. That's talking about Israel. And without getting into it too deep, hey, that's us. That's not Uncle Judah down there in the Holy Land holding the land for us. That's us, Israel, the northern tribes. He's talking about the northern tribes. He's not talking about the southern tribes who were faithful. He's talking about the northern tribes who went astray. I will punish her for the day she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers. But me she forgot, declares the Lord. I hope after we got saved we have not forgotten Him. I hope after we got saved, we've not gone off and given our life over to other things. I hope after we've been saved, we've not gone astray. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly for her. Then I will give her back her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Achor means trouble. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, or Ishi in some versions. Ishi's Hebrew for husband. And you will no longer call me my master, or Bali, the Lord. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips, and no longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. And a lot of y'all don't realize this. In the ancient Jewish time, the betrothal was considered legally married. after the betrothal, long before the consummation, you would have to get a divorce if you wanted out, and there were penalties for breaking the contract. Amen? That's why when Joseph found out that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with child, he said, I will put her away quietly. He was going to have to divorce her because they were legally married even though he'd never been with her. At betrothal, you are married. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge Yahweh. Now, that's pretty intimate stuff. So when are we going to respond? When are we going to turn our focus to Him? When are we going to quit, oh Lord, take care of me, oh Lord? When are we going to start taking care of Him with the love and the compassion and the passionate worship that He desires? When are we going to become echad with Him in the Spirit? God wants to be loved. He's been the good, gracious, slow to anger creator God, and we've all been preoccupied, lulled asleep with every kind of thing in America. You know, materialism is our worst problem in this country. We just can't wait to go shopping. Now, I love going shopping too. Don't get to do a whole lot of it anymore, but I mean, you know, I do enjoy going buying things. But we can't put that in front of God. We can't put anything in front of God. We can't let going out and eating nice dinners get in the way of God. We can't let going out and shopping get in the way. We can't let our children or our spouses or our jobs or anything get in the way of our relationship with God. He's got to be first, man. He's already been that good God to us. We've been preoccupied. We've been lulled to sleep with pagan customs and traditions, and we've forgotten our God, the lover of our life. You know, the Song of Solomon gets pretty heavy. Maybe y'all have ever read the Song of Solomon. It gets pretty intense. I mean, it gets really intense. That's the kind of love he's looking for. He's looking for intense lovers. He's looking for people that quit being lovers of things and start being lovers of him. You know, it's time. You know, Jesus will always be your Lord. Don't get me wrong here. But he's looking for people that will set aside Lord for lover. He's looking for people that will love him on that intense level. You know, it's easy to say, for God so loved the world. Of course he did. When are we going to so love him that we'll give him our love and our adoration, our faithfulness? You read how he's going to be with us. We read, I mean, you know, the day is coming for national Israel during the millennial reign, which we're celebrating right now today for this Feast of Tabernacles. But that day is open to you right now. You don't have to wait till Jesus comes back to make him the lover of your soul. All you have to do is make him the lover of your soul. You know, you don't have to wait for the Lord to come back and you look in his eyes before you decide, I'm going to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. That's the part we don't sing of the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. That's the full Shema. Hey, we're giving you the edited version here. We're supposed to love him. I mean, really love him. It's so easy to say that. We're going to get into that little place with him and Peter at the end. Will you respond to God's offer of love to you? Is a far more involved, far more intense than just accepting Jesus as your Savior. I mean, you know, so many churches are all about getting somebody to come up here and make a confession of faith. Great, good enough. But I'm far more interested in people who will declare their betrothal and show me the evidence with the engagement ring of the Holy Spirit. See, when you really want to get intense with Him, the Holy Spirit is your engagement ring that leads you into that place of deep, intense, passionate love. Am I preaching right? Ephesians chapter 5. We've been hitting on verse 18, we're going to come a little further down because I think we've taught you enough about being filled with the Spirit and not drunk on much wine. Now, you know, it's okay to get drunk in here. I want you to realize that. But we're not with alcohol. You can get as drunk in the Holy Spirit as you want in this place because we have free worship. We have free worship for a reason because we want people to get intense and intimate and passionate with Jesus in here. We want you to have that close, intimate love contact with Him. It's all about the love affair for Jesus. If I don't do anything else in here these 8 days, I want to get you so red hot for Jesus, you can't hardly stand yourself when you go home. That's what it's all about. Ephesians 5, verse 22. You know, we read this about husbands and wives. At the end of this passage, Paul's going to tell you, I'm not talking about husbands and wives. Oops. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. Who's the wife? Who's the wife in this scenario? The church is the wife. Who's the husband? Jesus. This isn't about browbeating your wife. This is about getting yourself submitted to Yeshua. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. Christ is head of the church. We kind of get that out of focus sometimes. It's not the minister man up here. It's Jesus is the head of the church. I'm not going to judge you, man. I'm not going to be sitting on the bema when you get judged in the kingdom of God. I'll be standing out in the stands with everybody else. Jesus is going to be up on the bema. He's the one you got to submit to. He's the one you got to follow. He's the one that's going to judge you, man. He's grading your test. I'm not. My test will be up on the dais getting graded just like yours. He's the one that grades our test. People talk to me all the time, well, we don't like the way you do that, Pastor. Hey, you ain't grading my test. I really don't care. Amen. I mean, I care a little bit, but I mean, you ain't grading my test. So as long as I'm doing what he tells me, I've had people come against me. And when I had sure contact from Jesus, I mean, how many of y'all have ever had word from the Lord? You quaking down on the floor and trembling like you've been shocked with 1,000 volts and you can't stop quivering and you feel it all over you. And you hear the Lord tell you to do thus and such. And it's people come against you 6 months later. We don't want you to do that. Hey, look, I got my word from Jesus. I'm going to do exactly what he said, baby. I'm always going to obey him first, and I hope y'all can understand it later. He grades the test. We got to submit to him. He's the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, his credentials in this marriage are already sure. His credentials in this marriage are already rock solid. There is no disputing how much he has loved you. Why do you think they call it the passion of the Christ? He's already demonstrated all of the passion for you that can ever be demonstrated. When are we going to demonstrate a little passion for the Lord? You know, he didn't ask you to come up on a cross and die for him. He asked you to come into the house of God and to worship him with power and passion and love and intensity. Is that too hard? I don't know. I was just telling Miss Frieda back there during the worship. I can't believe why other churches don't like to do this. Have more fun in church. I have all week. And people don't want to do this. You don't want to come to church and have more fun. You had all week. Wow, that's odd. Look, I was thinking about it over the week. Nobody had to coerce me to worship the devil on Friday night when I was a heathen. Huh? Nobody had to coerce me to do that. Nobody had to tell me, brother, you know, you need to worship the devil on Friday night. Nobody had to say that. You couldn't beat me away from all that nasty mess. Didn't have a problem on Saturday night. Didn't have a problem in the fraternity house. You couldn't slap me away from all that stuff. But now that we're saved, now that we're supposed to know Yeshua, now that we got the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, how come we don't want to give him the passion? How come somebody's got to say to us, hey man, you need to worship God on Friday night. Hey, you got to worship God on Saturday. Hey, you need to come down to church and worship God. Hey, when the music is really intimate and you really mean those words, why don't you lay on your face? Why do we have to do that? No one got to tell you to do it when you're a heathen. Heathens just know what they're supposed to do for their God. Come on now. And he ain't no God. And here we're worshiping the real God, and we got to coerce people to do it. Oh, please come on down and worship God on the Sabbath. We're going to have a time in the Holy Ghost. Hey, we're going to have the power of God in the house. Why? We should want to be passionate. Come on, y'all. As you see the wickedness getting worse out there, it should mean the intensity of the worship is more powerful in here. It should be the move of the Spirit is more intense in here. People shouldn't be able to stand in the back of the hall that the power of our Spirit of God is so strong in here. People ought to be crawling on the ground because they can't stand up by reason of the glory. Come on, I mean, you know. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water of the Word. Is he washing you with this Word? You know, it starts back here in Genesis and it ends over here in maps. It ain't just a couple of chapters up in this part. It's the whole thing. Are you washing yourself? Are you being washed by him with this word? Or do you run from the water? We got to be in this word. That's how he's washing you. Now, Lanice had a dream a number of years ago about the dogs, and dogs always represent demons, running through and getting the bride's garments muddy. Jean told me about a dream and a vision she had about the bride. Was it Jean that saw the bride? Did you see the bride? Yes. And the bride's garment was tattered and muddy. It's because we're not washing in the water. You can't come and read some little devotional little verse every other day or maybe twice a week and be washed in the water. Come on, when you bathe, do you put a drop on your head? Come on now. I mean, think about things in a practical manner. Look, I used to sell carpet extractors, and for a while they had this extractor that also put a chemical down and then put rinse water down afterwards. And to demonstrate this, the salesperson would shampoo their hair and not rinse it out. And go into clients that way. Well, see, this is what happens when you don't rinse your hair. Don't you want to rinse your carpet? Now, that seems silly. Did sell a few machines. I never would do that, but... How much are you washing in here? How much are you washing in here? Could you wash your body with that little bit of water? Come on now. I mean, we need to get serious. I mean, we're in the time of the end. If you're not going to get serious now, when do you plan on doing it? After Russia nukes the United States? Then you think you're going to get ready? Maybe you won't even be able to find one of these after that. You'll be scuffling around for food. You're going to wait till the armies come marching through here and decide, well, maybe I'll get hot for the Lord now. Well, you'll be needing to get hot for the Lord now, but I don't know that you'll be able to do it when you're serving somebody else. We need to be red hot for Jesus right now, because I read about a rescue of those saints that are red hot for Him. I don't read about a rescue for the saints that don't care. He's looking for a passionate bride. He wants somebody that loves Him and adores Him and shows that passion for Him. Come on now. What'd He say? If you're ashamed of the Son of Man, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father's angels in heaven. Oh, that's a bad place for Him to be ashamed. Come on now. That's a bad place for Him to have some shame. And to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy. Y'all, look, holy is found in Leviticus. Come on. I mean, I can't save you on that. Holy is in Leviticus. If you want to be holy, you better learn about Leviticus, because that's where holy is listed. Holy is not women having long hair and wearing dresses and guys with white walls around their ears and not having TVs in the house. That's not holy. I'm sorry. Anyway, those man-made rules ain't going to cut it, okay? When we're all at the beam of judgment, those man-made rules are not going to cut it. Holy is in Leviticus. Just look up every reference in your Bible in the New Testament where it says holy. Look every one of them up. They will all take you back to Leviticus. Jesus quoted Leviticus all the time. That's where holy's at. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. See, his love for us is always self-evident. His love for us is always on display. He loves you so much that he has cared for you, kept you, washed you. He has been there for every step of your life. There's not one experience you've ever had that he didn't absolutely, totally control you having it, including my sound machine blowing up yesterday. Come on. Every single one of them has a specific goal in your life to make you the person of God he's outlined you to be. He's that caring and that devoted. When are we going to start showing that kind of care and devotion to him? When are we going to start learning how to handle the presence of God in church with the love, the passion, and the adoration that he desires? When are we going to start learning to worship him the way he wants to be worshipped? When are we going to start giving him that love and affection when you feel the Spirit move in the house? But you know, the problem is too many people don't feel the Spirit move in the house. We've got to learn to get sensitive to him. You see, you ladies are a big advantage over the guys on that. I mean, huge advantage over us on that. But us guys, we've got to learn, man. We have to learn how to be sensitive to him. We expect our wives to respond to us. How much do we respond to him? We usually ignoring it, right? Come on, I know I'm hitting hard. Hey, but I'm in there too, guys. Hey, I'm in there too. I always go back to David. David is our example of a man who knows how to worship God. What did God say? David is a man after my own heart. Why? It wasn't because he wasn't a sinner. It's because he knew how to worship him with love and intimacy. Amen? That's why the fallen tent of David is being resurrected right now in front of your very eyes, because the fallen tent of David is about worshiping the house of God. It's about being intimate before him. David's tent was an open-air tent where everybody could get in front of the Ark of the Covenant and worship the living God. He sits on this thing. His power and presence flow from this thing. He struck down Uzzah because Uzzah handled the holiness of God carelessly. And you ain't going to fare no better. You've got to learn how to handle the presence of God. You know, God loves you so much, He just won't bring it. If you don't know how to handle it, and you're not of a mind to do it right, He just won't bring it. But if you can learn how to love Him and adore Him and to be intimate with Him and to be passionate for Him and you're willing to take the time to go through the rules to learn how to handle the presence of the living God, then you'll have it. He'll bless you with that. Because he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hates his own body, but he cares and feeds for it. And that's what Jesus is doing for you. And the care and the feeding here is not so much concerned about the food in your belly as the fire in your spirit. That's what he wants to feed. That's what he wants to care for. Your flesh is going to die. There ain't a thing he can do about it. And you know what? You can spend all the money on medicine you want to. Your flesh is going to die. All these doctors talking about the health care cost, you know, and they'll tell you in an instant, you spend more money in the last 6 months of your life when they can't save you anyway than you do all the rest of your life when they can. Come on. We're all going to die, but we all want to cheat death. We ought to be more concerned about the health of the Holy Spirit in our body. Amen. Because that's what's going to live. That's what you can do something about. That's what he's trying to care and feed for. The fire and the passion and the love you have in the Holy Spirit. That's what he's caring and feeding for, because that's what's going to survive. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. He's given you an action and a life in the flesh to teach you a fundamental and overwhelming principle in the Spirit of God. Now, every one of us is old enough to understand how a man and a woman become one flesh. And he wants to do the corresponding thing in the Spirit of God with you. And it's intimate, and it's passionate, and it has more love in it than any human man or wife has ever been able to have for each other. We were talking to a lady not too long ago from North Carolina. She'll get the tape, and she'll trip when she hears it. She called up and she said, "Man, I had a real revelation today. I was keeping the Sabbath and I took communion, and the Lord gave me a revelation about the communion with Christ." And she said, "You know, it's kind of got a sexual component to it." I said, "Yeah, you're right. It's just not in the flesh. It's in the spirit. The Lord gives you a taste with your husband or your wife of what he's really seeking in you, between him and you. And it's intense, and it's passionate, and it's everything you could ever want out of your partner that they can't give you. But he can. See, he's not looking for people that just want to bow down and worship him because they have to. He's the Lord. He wants a people that will bow down and worship him because he's the lover of their soul and the love of their life. Because you know he's been the love of your life. Every step of the way, from the time you were conceived all the way to now, and all the way till you take your last breath, and all the way to your resurrection in the kingdom of God, he's going to be the lover of your soul. That's what he's looking for. If we said before, God is spirit, you won't be one flesh the way a husband and wife are. Rather, you'll be one in spirit with Yeshua. It's a spiritual thing in joining together in the worship by the Spirit of the living God. We must leave all the things of our past and use the washing of the water of the Word to make us ready to join with Yeshua in spirit. You know, our past theologies hang us up. The churches I came out of, my past theologies hung me up. One of them was there, you couldn't worship. That's a real hang up. You know, when your theology tells you you can't even worship, how are you supposed to get in with the Lord? You can't. You know what I'm saying? You have to have that longing and that hunger. That's why it's called hungry hearts. Are you hungry? It's not because we're going to go eat afterwards. I mean, we are going to do that, but I mean, it's not because we're going to eat. It's because you got to want him. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 10. Deuteronomy 5. You know, a lot of folks don't read all the commandments. Amen? Everybody likes the abridged version. here at the end of the second commandment about making idols. You know, if you don't have idols in your life, that's why we don't really want images of Jesus, because he doesn't want you worshiping his image. He wants you worshiping him. That's why he said no graven images. He doesn't want you worshiping an image of him. He wants you worshiping him. Deuteronomy 5, verse 10. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Oh, it's so simple. God makes it so simple. Everything in the Hebrew is so simple. And we make it so complex. We make it so hard for people to understand that they think you have to go to college to learn how. But God makes it so simple. Showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do you love him enough to keep his commandments? Do you love him enough to keep his commandments? I mean, that seems like an easy starting point, right? Submit to Jesus as a wife is supposed to submit to her husband. I mean, that'll be a real easy prospect here to love him. But see, he's going to show you love too. It's all about love. It's all about the relationship. Living by his every word is how you enter into the love of the Lord. It sets the stage for that intimacy that you want. Well, I hope you want. Do we want it? Come on now. I mean, you know, this is important stuff. There are no words to express the full extent of this relationship. So you ladies get this intuitively. We men are at a profound disadvantage. Men just have a hard time with this. I think it's in the way we were raised. You know, men got to be so tough. Well, that's easy for some of y'all because y'all were tough. But I wasn't tough. I was a little shrimpy dude on the block. You know, the little egghead, their little egg-headed guy that y'all were all making fun of all the time. So it was a little easier for me. I wasn't the guy that was tough. I couldn't catch and play ball. You know, when y'all divided up teams, I was the one y'all didn't want. When you got your way, it's like, okay, Schultz, you stay out of the way and let us play ball. Just don't get involved. If the ball's coming to you, you don't move, sucker. I'm going to come and take the ball. I'll run from across the field, and I'll catch it, and you'll miss it. Don't even try to catch that ball. You hear me, son? I'll kick you off the team. I mean, so for me, it's a little easier. I couldn't be so tough because I have a choice. I just wasn't tough. I mean, yeah. Gentlemen, we have to learn how to press in during worship. We have to learn how to press in. See, the ladies get it. You just look around sometime and just watch the lady. They won't like it when you do it. But just get off in the corner and just look at the ladies. Every one of them knows how to worship. Just automatic. They're born that way. We have to learn how to worship. We have to learn how to be affectionate with Jesus. Because, you know, men were told don't do that. You know, you ever watch guys hug in church? Bam, 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 bam. Hey, whoa, buddy. I'm hearing vertebrae crack back there. You're not going to show me how tough you are by breaking my back. Come on, man. Guys have a hard time. They got a real gear about just giving me a hug. You know? Look, we're not being weird in here. I'm not weird, and you better not be either, but you don't got to slap the air out of my lungs to give me a hug. You know what I'm saying? See, guys have a hard time reaching up and just being tender and soft. But see, that's why he gave us wives, because we can do that with them. We don't have any problem doing that with our wives. Amen, gentlemen? I mean, all of a sudden, all the inhibitions are gone, and we can just be as soft and gentle and loving and intimate and affectionate with them, right? We have to learn how to do that in the Spirit of God. We have to learn how to come in and discern the Spirit of God in the room, what God is doing, how he's working, and then just be that intimate, that affectionate, that tender with him. See, that's pressing in. That's pressing in for it. See, when you come in, it's easy to just, nah, I don't feel nothing. Well, okay, sometimes I don't feel nothing either, okay? Hey, look, everybody. James was telling me, he said, man, you're right about the traffic in this town. Huh? It ain't just old Chelsea. It ain't just always Pastor. We got some people that don't know how to drive and got their license at Big Lots and got no business being on the road, you know what I'm saying? Come on. They're in the fast lane, driving 30 miles an hour, gabbing on a cell phone and not even looking at the road, you know. And then big trucks are about to run me over because I'm not going fast enough, but I can't move because you're in the way. I mean, you know. I don't know where I was going with that one, but anyway. We have to learn how to press in because we come in here with bad attitudes sometimes. Hey, come on, I'm German. I wake up with a bad attitude sometimes. If you don't believe me, just ask Lanisha, she'll tell you. But you have to put that away. That's why we have the music up so loud. Put that away. Stop. Get your breath. Take a deep breath. Shout hallelujah a couple times. It's amazing how much shouting hallelujah would do for you. I don't know why that is. It's Hebrew for hallel yah. Hallel is not quiet praise. Oh, I love you, Lord. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah is a tumult. It's translated tumult several times in your Bible. And the Ark of the Covenant was brought into camp of Israel, and they made such a tumult the Philistines could hear it 6 miles away. That's hallelujah! That's hallelujah. That's a tumult. We're making so much commotion, the sinners want to come to the door and find out what's going on in there. You know, we actually did that. We're over in the comfort zone on the night to be much observed, and we had such a good time. They had this whole ballroom here for a secular birthday party. They had a DJ in here with the full setup, and they people coming up in limousines and stuff. I mean, a big party, and we were making more commotion and more noise and having more fun over in the little comfort zone over there. And there were people coming and peeking in the door. That's what Jesus wants. He don't want us hid away with some quiet church that nobody even knows we exist. He wants us making such a loud commotion that everybody's got to, what in the world's going on over there? We're worshiping God, brother. Come on in with us, you know. We have to learn how to get intimate. And a couple of hallelujahs and the praise will get rid of all that junk. So that when the slow songs come, I can only imagine you can get on your face and cry your eyes out. And the guys say, I don't want to get on my face and cry my eyes out. Let me tell you something. You ain't never lived until you get on your face and you cry your eyes out on the floor and you can feel the power of God quaking your whole body. And I tell you what, when you get up, you won't hardly be able to walk and you'll be like, wow, man. But you'll feel better than you've ever felt in your life. Huh? And you'll remember it too. Years later, you'll remember, man, that time I got on the floor with so-and-so, man, I felt God that night. Man, I tell you what, my whole life has been better. My outlook has changed since I got on the floor back at so-and-so's. Come on now. I know what I'm talking about. This is experience talking. Exodus 34. How can we talk so much about being intimate with Jesus in the Old Testament? That's because there's a lot of old school worshipers back here that know how to do it, that sought the heart of God, and that are listed in Hebrews 11 as the champions of the faith because of their love, adoration, and worship for God. Exodus 34, verse 5. Then the Lord came down with the cloud and stood there and proclaimed his name, Yahweh. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And this is supposed to be the hard Old Testament God? Wants to kill everybody? Doesn't look real hard to me. Looks like this is what I'm looking for. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. See, God is a God of love. He's always been a God of love. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has never changed and will never change. He's been set this way as the gracious God, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving wickedness, sin, and rebellion. He's always been this way. He'll always be this way. But he does require you to fess up. The great God, the living God, the creator God is always love for the known love he demonstrates to those who love him. He's known for the intimacy and the compassion. This was the whole purpose for the creation of mankind, is to have people who would be intimate and compassionate with him and passionate of their own free will, with their own unique personalities and types and individuality. He wants you. He made you just who you are. So that you could love him. Man, he wants it. It's not like you have to wonder, will the Lord come down today if we worship him? No, he wants it. Your worship can snatch him off that throne in a New York minute and have him right down there with you, man. He's got the perfect praise of the most angelic choirs and orchestras you'll ever have, but he'd rather hear your squawking voice. Come on. He'd rather hear your squawking voice because, you see, it's the free will love of his children he's after. It's the free will love, in Yeshua's case, of his brothers and sisters that he's after. And see, these relationships we're throwing out here do not adequately explain what's going on. We use terms like father and son, children and parents, husband and wife, brothers and sisters, but this in no way even begins to compare with what we're talking about in the Spirit. It's just the only words we got. We don't have better words for this. It's a thing that takes place in the spiritual level that's far more intense and far more intimate than anything you can imagine on the earthly level. Deuteronomy 6. I need to hurry so we can get up in the New Testament some. Verse 4. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. This is loving God. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's where you get the mezuzah. The mezuzah's got a little scroll of the commandments of God, and you put it on your door frame. That's where that comes from. It's a nice little decorative piece instead of having a little scroll, you know, scratched out in the door frame. This is loving God. If you really love the Creator of the universe, then you're going to want to do what He tells you. You got to love Him with all you have. You can't love Him some of the time. You got to love Him all of the time. You know, I was listening to Bill Cloud, and Bill Cloud has a wonderful book called Enmity Between the Seeds, and we're going to try to bring Bill as soon as we can get him down here. And he was saying that the difference between a wife, a faithful wife, and the harlots that you always read about in the prophets is the wife takes the seed of only her husband, and the harlot takes anybody's seed. Well, let's look at this in the spiritual for a minute. You're supposed to take only the seed of your husband, which is the Word of God. You're not supposed to take anybody's seed. And when you take anybody's seed, you become a wow. And if you look through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Obadiah, Hosea, Micah, all those prophets, you find that he calls Israel the adulterous wife. And I'm talking northern tribes, not the southern tribes. He talks about them later. We're not talking about that. The northern tribes, he says, you are the adulterous wife. You're the harlot. As a matter of fact, he told one of those prophets, I think it was Amos, wasn't it, to marry a harlot. Hosea. He told Hosea to marry a harlot, knowing that the children might not be his. That's heavy, man. That's heavy. Aren't you glad you ain't Hosea? Come on. We're supposed to take in the seed of the Word of God. That's everything from Genesis to maps. And not strange ideas from somewhere else. Not fictitious stuff somebody made up. And when you take in stuff, you need to qualify. You better find some Bible for it. Come on now. There's a lot of pagan stuff that's been mixed in with Christianity. You better be digging through to get rid of that junk. Because when you take that other seed, that makes you a... He's not going to rush you a harlot. He's not going to rush you a harlot. He's going to rescue his bride that remains faithful to him, that only takes his seed, that's intimate with him, that's passionate with him, that worships him, that loves him, and adores him. This is important. You cannot take away obedience from intimacy, because if you're not obedient to him, he's not really going to be intimate with you. Come on, it's very important. By the same token, those people who are obedient need to be really intimate with him, because you're really squandering your opportunity. Psalm 18. If you don't waste your obedience. If you're walking in obedience, make sure you get intimate, man. Take advantage of everything you can get. Psalm 18, verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Do you love him? Is this us? Can we worship Jesus the Messiah the way David did? Can we tell him in the worship just how much we love him? Matthew 10, verse 37. Matthew 10 and verse 37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So you can't let your human relationships jump in front of you and God. You've got to be willing to worship God in spite of what your husband or wife thinks and in spite of what your children think of you. You've got to be able to come into the house of God and worship Him with all your heart. If not, you're not worthy of Him. Do we really love Him? Do you love Him more than your own life? Do you really? Will you give Him His Sabbath day? Do we really give it to Him? I mean, I kept the Sabbath a long time before I really gave Him the Sabbath. You know, it's an easy enough thing not to go to work on a Saturday. But do you give it to Him in worship? Are you spending time with Him? That doesn't mean you don't talk to your spouse, you don't spend a little time with your children. I mean, you know, God knows you got all this, but are you making time on the Sabbath to worship Him in private as well as in public at church? Are you making time on the Sabbath to really love Him with all you've got? Are you making time on the Sabbath to be washed in the water of His Word so that you can be that pure, spotless, blemished, unblemished wife, pure and holy, chaste before Him? Do we really love Him that much? Luke 7. Are you willing to face the scorn and rejection from your families to love Him from the full depth of your heart? Luke 7. Verse 47. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. You wonder why some folks are quick to get on their face. Some of us have been forgiven of a lot. And I find that those who were forgiven of very little, those who really were good people before they got saved, they have a hard time giving it up because they still got too much of, well, I was a pretty good person. I've heard so many people say, well, I was a pretty good person. I know I was a sorry dog fit for death. You know, if I hadn't been saved, I would be the poster child of somebody who deserved death. Now you see this fool shows up here? He did everything that you wasn't supposed to do. See, right here. Here's your poster child for the lake of fire. Some of y'all laugh at this, but I mean, it's really not funny. I mean, it's funny. I'm trying to make a joke, so I mean, do laugh. I mean, it's really not funny. But, you know, how are we looking at our life? Are you the poster child for the lake of fire? Then when you got forgiven, you really understand how much he forgave. He who's forgiven much loves much. He who's forgiven little loves little. Look, I'm trying to take you from wherever stance you came in here and to get your love for Jesus white hot. White hot. I want you so hot for your Messiah, you can't hardly stand it. I want you so hot for your Messiah, the next time you go into cold church, it makes you sick to your stomach and you can't take it. Come on, y'all. I want you so on fire for Jesus, if they don't worship Him, you don't want to come back. I want you so hot for Jesus that if you don't feel moved to get on your face in the worship at some point, just lay down and submit totally to Him and let the power of God come on you, you wonder what you did wrong when you go home. Come on, that's what it's all about. John. John 12. It doesn't depend on our righteousness. It depends on your love for Jesus. He will forgive, but we have to love. John 12, verse 25. Well, you can tell I've been preaching a lot. My voice is getting like Kelvin McDaniel. 5 days I preached 7 times. Hey. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. He has unequivocally demonstrated his love for us by the passion on the cross. When are we going to unequivocally demonstrate our love for Him? By serving Him, by living for Him, by obeying what He tells us, by worshiping Him in the service? Do we really want the eternal life He's promised to you? I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of folks in the coffin. And it ain't something that I'm wanting, you know, to have to go through. Amen? I mean, come on now. Every time I've looked at somebody I loved in the box there, I thought about me in that box. That's the whole purpose of death. You realize that, right? You realize why God is doing this. So that every one of us will look at every person we've ever loved and all of our friends in that box and think about it. What about when it's my turn? You aren't going to cheat death. I got news for all of you. You ain't going to cheat death. Every one of us is supposed to look at that friend, that loved one, that person that's dear to us in the box and go, man, one day I'm going to be in that box. He wants you to think about that. Do you want the eternal life that's promised? Do you really want it? I mean, it's a hard thing to think about sometimes. The man who loves his life will lose it. If you try to grab a hold of your physical life, it's going to be gone. But if you hate your life in this world, and you take a hold of the things of God, He'll give you eternal life. Man, come on now. See, over and over again, as I'm trying to get you to think about your love for Him, we keep seeing His love for us, don't we? Over and over. How much better can it get? Jesus, our sweet Jesus. Every time I'm trying to get you to love Him, we come to a verse showing you how much more He loved you than the verse before it. Come on now, we owe Him. We owe Him. Mark 12. We have to open our Bibles and live by every word of it from Genesis to maps. We can't be picking and choosing. And I've known as many Sabbath keepers to pick and choose as Sunday folks now. Come on now. Mark 12, verse 29. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Okay, now this is Jesus talking. These are red letters now. You better listen up good on this one, because this is how your test is going to get graded. Which is the greatest commandment? The most important one is this. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. He quotes back to you the Shema. What's the greatest commandment? He quotes back to you the Shema. People wonder why we want to do that at the beginning of worship. It's the greatest commandment. I'm giving you the shorthand. You know, rabbis do that. When Jesus was up on the cross and all his disciples are standing there going, "What in the world is going on? We thought he was the Messiah going to come and restore the kingdom to Israel." So up on the cross, he quotes them. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. O Lord, O Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? And we think, oh, the Lord forsook him at the last there. He had to go alone. No, he's quoting you the first part of Psalm 22. He's a rabbi giving you the shorthand so every one of those people would know to go back and read Psalm 22 to know what they were looking at. And what do we read every Passover talking about the Passion of the Christ? We read Psalm 22. Hallelujah. The whole thing from start to finish. Why? Because it's telling you what Jesus went through. They're looking at his body broken and marred beyond the form of a human man, and he sends them to the passage of Scripture that describes what he was going to have to go through. Amen? So he's telling you, go back to the Shema. You got to love him with all your heart. And you know, when we talk about making a sin list before Passover and atonement, you know, you can put that one first. You start right there. I did not love the Lord my God with all my heart. You see, when you get on life at this level, it's not about playing games anymore. It's getting real with him. It's getting real with him. You know, we don't come into holy seasons like this till we get right with the Lord first. So we make those sin lists and burn them. It's because we're trying to confess our sins to him alone and get right with him on every one of those points. Why do we do that? Because we want his power to be manifest in here for you. So when you come in, you feel the power of God. I'm back there praying. Don't let any person come in this room, Lord, that doesn't feel your touch today. It doesn't feel the quickening in their heart when the word is being preached. It doesn't feel the desire to get on their knees and worship you while the music is going on. Why? Because this is all about being real with him. It's not about coming and playing church. It's about getting real. Do you want your king? Do you have any idea how close you really are to the kingdom of God? What if it's next week? You know, we don't really think about that too much. What if it's going to be on the last great day of this feast? Come on now. Do we really want the kingdom of God? Do we really want our King? Do we really love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, and all our soul? John 14. Do you acknowledge his greatness, his mercy, his majesty, his gracefulness in your life? You know, he's never done you wrong. He's been so very careful in your life with every single detail. Will you show him your love and worship? You know, we'll never ask you to worship anybody besides Yeshua Messiah. We'll never ask you to worship anybody besides Yeshua Messiah, but we do ask you to do that when you come in. John 14, verse 15. If you love me. Ooh, that's hard. Come on now, this is almost as bad as we did to Peter. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do we love him? Because he's making it conditional. He hits you between the eyes with that one. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do we love him? Because, you know, words aren't going to cut it. Words aren't going to cut it. Jesus is so real. It's going to be real straight. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Are you getting this? If you have eyes to see in the Spirit of God, you will see him. He said that's a promise. If you love him and keep his commandments. But you got to do both. It's not one or the other. You have to love him in the worship and the intensity and the love and the adoration. And you've got to keep his commandments. You've got to walk right. Then you'll see him in the Spirit. And because he lives, you will live. Your life comes from him. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Wow, that's so strong. Do we really believe it? You know, he asked some of his disciples so many times after he said something profound, do you believe this? You know, we don't live like we believe it. We don't live like we believe that the Father's in Yeshua and Yeshua's in us. Or we wouldn't do some of the things we do. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Wow. You know, I love math because you can take that in the contra statement of that is, if you're not keeping his commandments, you don't really love him. Ooh. Ooh, man, this is a hard word, man. It hits everybody. He who loves me, whoever has my commands and obeys him, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. You don't have to wait until he's coming back on the white horse, y'all. You can see him through the Spirit of God in the Spirit with your spiritual eyes. That's why we keep singing songs about opening your eyes. We're trying to let you pray that on yourself. To open your eyes and see him. Oh, it won't be clear like we're looking at each other right here. As Paul says, you'll see in a glass darkly. Then you'll see face to face. But hey, I'll take my little glimpses of the Lord through that mirror darkly any day on this side of his appearing. Amen? It's what sustains me. It's what keeps me going. You know, loved ones going into war and going to be separated for a long time carry pictures. They carry pictures to sustain their love. That little glimpse of him in the Spirit, it'd do wonders for you. Oh, it'd do wonders for you. Medicine to the soul. From God the Father, if you love them, you will obey the Torah and they will show themselves to you. You will get the counselor, the comforter to help you, which is Jesus living in you. Over and over again, loving Jesus is equated with living your life by his teaching and instruction. Do you have that kind of love and adoration for your Savior? Then you must open up the Torah and live by it as modified by his words in the New Testament. John 21. I may not get much further than that. I have a lot more notes here, but I'm going to do my best. Look, this is some hard words we're fixing to get into. You think I've been playing? I've been playing up to now. Now we're going to get hard. Y'all want some hard word? Like I told you today, you better be looking for a pastor that will tell you right so that you can stand on the day of the Son of Man and be accounted worthy to escape all these things. You don't want some easy pastor teaching you smooth things. Then you'll fall and stumble. Besides, I'm greedy. I'm greedy for a big reward in the kingdom of God. Now, if you people, I preach you smooth things, I'm not going to get any reward. Let's be honest. I don't want to get in the kingdom with just a white robe. I want some reward, baby. I want to be somebody. Like it says, those who teach the Torah and live by it will be called great in the kingdom of God. And those who teach the Torah's done away and fail to observe it will be called least in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be least. I want to be great. I'm pretty greedy. John 21. Verse 15, Now, you know, it's, sometimes we need to take these words and put our own name in here. Amen. We need to get off of Peter's back, because ain't none of us have walked on water. Come on, Peter walked on water with the Lord. When we get to that level, we can start talking junk about Brother Peter. His shadow healed a lame man. When we get to that stage where we're healing lame people, then we can talk a little junk about Brother Peter. Right now, we ought to put our name in here. Chelsea! Do you truly love me more than these? You missed it. It's not your fault. They didn't put the right words in your Bible. You'd have no choice but miss it. He said, do you agapeo me? Now, there's all kind of words for love in the Greek culture. They've got tons of words. They have words that identify every different aspect of human love that can be known. But the agapeo love is the love directed by your will. By my will, I will love on a higher level, because I made a decision to do it and stay with it and be solid on it and committed to it in spite of everything else. So put your name in there. Do you agapeo Jesus? Ooh. And you answer, Lord, you know all things. You know I philia you. Well, that's just the love we have one brother to another. He didn't ask you that. He didn't ask you if you filiated him. He said, do you agapeo me? Have you made up your mind, your self-determined will, a decision on your own to love him with all of the commitment that you have? And we answered back, well, you know I filiate you. So we asked him again. You, put your name in there. Chelsea, son of John, do you truly agapeo me? Now you're getting a little worried. The Lord has asked you twice if you agape him, and you answer the same lame old way you did the first time. Well, Lord, you know I philia you. And this is really going to cut you right to the heart, because he asked you a third time, do you really philia me? Do you really philia me? Because if you only philiaed me, you would keep my commandments. If you only filiate me, you would keep my commandments. But I ask for agapeo, which is not just walking in my commandments. It's walking in my love and my adoration. It's giving me the passionate worship that you know I desire. It's getting on your face and giving up the Holy Spirit to me when you know I'm coming in here to be intimate with you. It's not just keeping my commandments. It's walking in my spirit. We give the lame answer. Don't be picking on Brother Peter. Don't be picking on Brother Peter. When is he going to be your lover and not your Lord? When are you going to bring your relationship with Jesus up to a higher level? A higher level of love determined and directed by your will. The commitment that's more stable than your emotions. I mean, emotions are good stuff, but you can't base your relationship with Jesus on how you feel for the day. You've got to base your relationship on with Jesus based on an unwavering, total commitment of your will. That's why he said, wives, submit to your husbands. It wasn't to get your wife in order. It's to get you in order with him. To get your relationship on a different level. If it falls out in your marriage, that's good, because he tells you at the end, it's good for husbands to love their wives as themselves and wives to be nice to their husbands. But he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about Christ and the church. And we have to take our relationship up to that level of love. We can't just filia him. Because he's going to ask you real quick, do you really filia me? That's not what I saw at your house last week. That ain't what I saw in the car coming down here. So he's going to be quick to call us short up on that if that's that lame answer we give. We've got to give him that good answer. With tears running down our face. Oh, I don't know, Yeshua. You know I agape you with everything in my heart. You know I agape you with everything in my mind. You know that you're above everything in my life, and I don't want anything but you. And if it ain't you, I could care less. Because you are the love of my life. You are the lover of my soul. You know, the Song of Solomon is to be read at the Passover, because the Passover is taken as the betrothal of the bride. Do you read the Song of Solomon on Passover? Of course, you probably didn't know till now. Okay, so, you know, you didn't do it in the past because you didn't know. But you know now. So when we come up to Passover, are you going to be reading the Song of Solomon? When you come to take the bread and the wine, are you going to be coming to become intimate with your lover? Or are you just going to come to church and go through the motions? That's easy enough. 1 Corinthians 2. You know, we have human relationships and sometimes they grow cold because we get hurt. We don't like being hurt and we withdraw. But you know what? Jesus is not going to hurt you. He's not going to betray your trust. He's not going to break that commitment of intimacy with you. You can truly open up to Him and Him alone without any fear. That's why He says perfect love casts out fear. People are afraid to come to Him and be His lover. But that's what He's called you to do. That's why it says many are called, but few were chosen. The choosing is done by you. It's not Him choosing you. It's you choosing Him. It's you choosing to love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. It's you choosing to become intimate with Him with the passion and the love and the intimacy and the adoration. Many are called, but few choose Me. Few choose Me. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You can't know in your flesh with this brain that thinks in the skull full of mush just how much He loves you. Just how glorious and magnificent and marvelous intimacy with Him will be in the Spirit of God. No mind can comprehend what He wants with you in that intimate relationship of love. Why don't we want it? The word here for love is agapeo, meaning those who have made the determination of their will to love and adore Him on that deep, inner, spiritual level. Those people don't have to be told to obey Jesus. You don't have to browbeat those people, keep His commandments, because they would rather die than disobey Him. I meet people like this on the sunny side of life all the time. And they find out about the commandments. It just, as soon as you tell them, it just cuts them to heart. They drop to their knees. Because they can't believe they haven't been keeping this all their life. They were told lies and they hate themselves for it. And it wasn't even their fault. And they hate themselves for it because they love Him on this level. And once they're told, they change right there on the spot. That's enough. Man, I want Him. I don't want anything to separate me from Him. We're intimate and I don't want anything to impinge on that at all. Now that you've told me, I must walk in it. Tell me, Brother Bill, what must I do? Of course, I usually tell them a little more than they're ready to hear right then, but, you know, hey. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the agape for God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This agape for God is something that the Holy Spirit has got to create in our emotions, our minds, and our wills. That's why we must always strive to attain the highest level of the Spirit of God we can, because it's the Spirit of God that makes this agape in you for Him. What's not to like? What's not to like about this process? It's been the best thing that's ever happened in my whole life. Ephesians 6, verse 24. Grace to all who agape our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying agape. Have you made that determination of your will to make Jesus your lover and the Spirit of the living God with an undying agape love? An undying agape love. James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised to those who agape Him? He's promised a kingdom to those who agape Him. He said, you'll sit on My throne and rule with Me. Do you agape Him on that level? Do you agape Him on that level that He wants you to come and sit on the throne with Him while He rules this earth? 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. Kingdom of God has been promised to those who make Him the lover of their life. Though you have not seen Him, you agape Him. Though you have not seen Him, you agape Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. This agapeo love of the determination of your will to love Jesus is the source of your inexpressible joy. People want to know where they get how the joy of the Lord can be their strength. It comes from the decision of your will to love Him no matter what, and to love Him with obedience and adoration and worship. It's a decision you make. It's beyond just how you feel today when you get up. To know Jesus on that deep, intimate, spiritual level of His love and loving Him with all of your being is the goal of your faith. Great Heavenly Father, we just do come before Your throne. We just do thank You. We just do praise You that You would send us Yeshua Messiah to be the love of our life. Father God, we come before You right now knowing that we have not always made Him the love of our life. We have not always treated Him as the lover of our soul, but oftentimes He's just been the Lord out there somewhere away from everything. We come before Your throne to repent of hardness of heart. We ask that You pour the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, into our minds and our hearts, the seat of our emotions right now, so that we can have the undying agape love and really make Yeshua the lover of our life and not just our Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.